Kochani braterstwo, serdecznie was witam dzisiaj.
I would like to welcome you all to the next day of convention. I hope you are all well rested and ready for another day of listening to the Word of God.
Jak wiemy, dzisiaj przed nami jest wyjątkowy dzień znowu.
Today is a very special day.
No i pragniemy się skupić znowu.
And we would like to again focus our hearts and our minds
tak jak kiedyś
at the feet of our Lord, just like Mary did
in the olden days.
She left all her work and she listened to what our Lord wanted to tell her.
Życzę wam wszystkim, our dear brethren, aby łaska i pokój
it is my sincere wish that
serca.
The Lord's grace and peace direct our hearts.
Witam was, kochani.
And with this peace,
tak,
I greet you all.
Gdzie się
spotykacie, this is what our Lord Jesus said.
Pokój, który wy macie,
where you meet, that this peace that you have
razem,
may be felt by others. And I think it's present here today, and I think we feel this peace.
Zanim może,
my dear brethren, I have a very important message. Before I left for the convention, I left in Germany. My sister Elizabeth,
Erika,
send their special love.
A na łączach, którzy się z nami łączą,
and those who are joining us on Zoom, Brother Daniel Młynek also sends his special greetings to the entire congregation gathered here. And the other brethren are here with us.
Wszyscy, którzy się z nami łączą,
and all those who are connecting with us online.
Mój szwagier, brat
and my brother-in-law also sent a special love from Milwaukee
and from Wisconsin.
They all send their special Christian love.
Kochani braterstwo,
my dear brethren,
jak usłyszeliśmy,
when we heard
że będzie zorganizowana konwencja,
a convention is going to be organized, what happened? We were rejoicing because of it?
Dlatego, braterstwo, chciałem, nie chcę dużo czasu tracić, ale
this is why I don't want to waste too much time.
Dawida chciałem z wami podzielić,
but I want
ja
to share the joy of David that I also am sharing in my heart. In Psalm 122,
radowałem się, gdy mi powiedziano, do domu Pana pójdziemy, prawda? Ja przeczytam może ten cały psalm, bo jest taki
wielki,
czynny psalm i nam dużo mówi.
It is a psalm of thanksgiving. I will read.
Stanęły stopy nasze w bramach Twych, o Jeruzalem.
Our feet shall stand within thy gates of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Dear brethren, we know what this Jerusalem is described by Apostle Paul. It's not about the physical place, Jerusalem.
It's from Hebrews
12. I'm not going to cite it because you all know it by memory. This Jerusalem that is described in this chapter, wherever we meet, where two or three are gathered, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that He is there among them. That is this home, this Jerusalem.
Przejdźmy do Nowego Testamentu.
Let's now go to the New Testament.
Apostoł Paweł.
What kind of joy did Apostle Paul have?
Jak myślicie? Co
what do you think?
Największą radością
what
był Apostoła Paweł?
Greatest joy?
Oczywiście to powinno naszą wszystkich radością być.
Of course, it should also be our joy as well.
Poczytam
I will read his word from Philippians, the second chapter.
Jeśli więc w Chrystusie jest jakaś zachęta, jakaś pociecha miłości, jakaś wspólnota ducha, jakieś współczucie i zmiłowanie, dopełnijcie radości
mojej. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort in love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any vows and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. My dear brethren, I will now ask, what is our joy?
Jak uważacie, braterstwo?
What do you think?
Raz, zdaje się, że tutaj jesteśmy razem.
You might think that we're here together, we're building each other up, we're sharing with everything that the Lord has given us.
Słowa, co słyszeliśmy, co Pan kierował braci, którzy nam przekazali to słowo, jest tak
budujące. We hear this word that comes from the Lord that built us up. And what do we gain from it? What brings us most joy from this word?
I
think like in the
Hebrews,
it's described the joy of our Lord Jesus. How he joyfully had to bear the cross. What was his greatest joy? His greatest joy was to bring Adam into perfect harmony and unity with God. That is also our joy. What we hear, what we learn from the Word of God
is
the greatest joy that even today we know that this will happen. This is a great blessing that we have the opportunity to understand God's plan, that we can know His will, His mercy towards Israel or to all the nations of the earth. Let's always remember about the promise that He gave Abraham. That's our joy. We not only know it, but we are convinced. We are sure that it will happen. So let us thank our dear Lord for this wonderful blessing that He gives us, even in these difficult times, this opportunity to come together today. My dear brethren, let us begin with a hymn and a prayer, the first section of today's day. I will ask Brother Daniel Rapp to lead us in song.
Zanoszę Panu dzięki za łaskę, którą dał, za hojność Jego ręki, za łaskę przyszłych chwał. Bo krew najświętsza Pana zbawiła śmierci mnie, a łaska obiecana już dziś wypełnia się. Nóg i wierny nie się spodziewam, lecz wkroczę w nieba na próg. Mój śpiew nie znaje Jezusa, bo On jest zbawcą mym. Chcę umrzeć razem z Nim. Chleci pod niebiosy dziękczynnej pieśni ton. Pobądźcie ze mną wszystkimi stron. Tam na niebiańskiej górze naszego życia ma treść. Więc razem z godnym chórze śpiewa
zbliżmy nasze serce teraz do
Tronu. Approach the throne of grace of our Heavenly Father. Brother Tadeusz will lead us in a word of prayer.
Święty, pełen wielkiego miłosierdzia.
Our Heavenly Father, full of
grace,
may your name be holy. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we want to approach your throne of grace, to give you thanks and glory, to thank you for all of the blessings that you give us each and every day, and foremost for the gift of your Son Jesus, who came to this earth and gave his perfect life to redeem mankind, Adam, and all of us. We thank you for this greatest gift. We thank you for all the blessings that you graciously bless us with. We thank you for your graces that you justified us, for the high calling through Jesus Christ, for this high calling that we can participate in, that we can run for this highest reward which you promised mankind. Lord, you know that we are not able within ourselves to accomplish this. That's why we ask you for your daily blessing, to have mercy on our behavior, that we may continue to walk in the footsteps of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. We thank you for this fellowship, that you gave us this opportunity to gather together, to listen, and to discuss your holy word. Please give us your wisdom that comes from above, that we can make the most of this moment, of these moments that are before us, that we can build each other up in this most holy faith, that we may behave in such a way that would be pleasing to you. Give us this wisdom that in our relationship, our behavior, we can bring glory to your name, that we can remember your perfect plan, that we can improve our own behaviors and actions, that that we can behave in a way that is pleasing to you and according to our high calling. We ask that not only of those who are gathered here, but for all of your people, wherever they may be found. We also ask this for those who desired to come here, but didn't have the opportunity to do so. Lord, you know your children. You know our needs. We pray that you will give us all that we ask for. We ask for a greater measure of the Holy Spirit, and also for this brother who will be sharing your word with us this morning. Give him your wisdom, your Holy Spirit, so that he may speak in a way that is pleasing to you. We ask this all in the name of our dear Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen. I will ask now Brother Gary Johnson to read the manifest for today. August 18th. He will read in English.
Today's manifest is taken from Thessalonians 5:21. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. However much they should ever come to respect prophesying or public speaking, the Lord's people should learn proportionately not to receive what they might hear without proper examination and criticism. They should prove all things that they hear, should exercise discrimination of mind as to what is logically and scripturally supported, and what is mere conjecture and possibly sophistry. They should prove what they hear with a view to holding fast everything that stands the test of the divine word and shows itself to be in accordance with the Holy Spirit. And they should as promptly reject whatever will not stand these tests. Again, from 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good.
Dziękuję. Thanks. Kochani braterstwo, jeszcze tylko jedno słowo. Chcę powrócić do tej jednomyślności, którą apostoł Paweł przekazał. Braterstwo,
dear brethren, a message from Apostle Paul teaches us that everyone thinks that they are right. But just like the brother read, it is our duty to understand and study what is the will of God. And this oneness of mind should center around our Lord Jesus. And now we ask the brother to give a talk.
Pacea Domnului Iisus, dragi.
Peace of our Lord Jesus, dear brothers and sisters. Due to health issues, my father cannot make it to this international convention, even though he really wanted to. And so I will try to be his voice, reading the discourse he prepared. The theme of the discourse is a being full of loveliness. The peace, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. I greatly rejoice to be with you here today in this place at the International Convention. I desire on this occasion to bring you the greetings of your brothers and sisters from Baia Mare. I would like to especially thank God that He brought us into existence, that He blessed us with the gift of a new life through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and giving us grace to know Him and His Son. It is a special favor that the Father had done for His children. Likewise, I would like to thank God for the trials which He permitted in my life, and because, in spite of my health problems, I am able to be in your midst today. Thank you also, dear brothers and sisters, because you kept me in your prayers. Today, I thought to tell you about a love poem written by the sons of Korah. To begin, I would like to read the first two verses from Psalm 45. My heart is in tinding of good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. The phrase, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer, urges us to speak as beautifully as possible about this dear being who has brought us out of the abyss of sin and death. Do you know who this person is? It is the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, who came into our world to lift us up, to help us, to take us out of this evil state. The psalmist describing our Lord Jesus as being the fairest among the children of men. The supreme beauty of Jesus has a force of attraction over all. The love which he evokes is more powerful than admiration. He is much more than pleasing and beautiful. He is lovely. He is the object of our ardent love, a love based on the perfection of his person. Look at the Savior's lips and say if they are not the sweetest. Doesn't your heart light up when you talk to him on the way? Look at his precious golden head and say if his thoughts are not dear to you. Is there not loveliness in his every feature? Is there any part of his glorious body that is not perfect, and any attribute of his person that is not a cool spring for our souls? There is no part of his being that we do not love. We anoint his whole being with the precious nard of our burning love. We want to imitate his whole life. We want to copy his whole character. In every other being, we see a flaw. In him, everything is perfect. Even the best of his saints have a stain on their garments, a wrinkle on their foreheads. He has nothing but loveliness. The sun has its spots. The most beautiful world has its wilderness. Only Jesus Christ is the gold without mixture, the light without darkness, the glory without clouds. His whole being is full of loveliness. Jesus came into our world to show us the Father, as we read. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it is pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Reading the description of our Lord Jesus made by the Apostle Paul fills us with admiration. All scripture speaks of this wonderful being, beginning with Enoch, the seventh patriarch from Adam, who prophetically tells us, "Behold, the Lord cometh with tens of thousands of his saints to execute judgment upon all." Jude 1:4-5. In the course of time, the aged Jacob prophesied about the Lord Jesus when he blessed his sons, saying, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and the people shall obey him." Later, Moses also spoke about this great prophet, saying, "The Lord your God will raise up from among you, from among your brethren, a prophet like me. Listen to him." Balaam also prophesied, saying, "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel." The righteous Job, in the midst of his suffering, said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the later day upon the earth. Even if my skin is destroyed, and even if I no longer have flesh, I will still see God. I will see him, and he will be kind to me. My eyes will see him. There won't be anyone else for me. How yearns my heart within me." The psalmist, likewise, describes the Lord Jesus admirably. It is delightful to look at the manner in which God planned to hide so many wonderful traits in his Son. Why did God do this thing? Because it pleased God that in him should all fullness dwell. In order for this thing to be accomplished, it was necessary that Jesus come into our world to deliver us from sin and death. So often we are not able to truly appreciate this gesture of the Lord Jesus. We would never have been able to free ourselves from this prison of sin and death if God had not extended his hand to help us. He hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. How wonderful this is! Through the beloved Son of God, we have been offered the cords of his love in order to free us from this prison. The Apostle Paul speaks about this love of Christ for us as a love which surpasses all knowledge. His love, in all its charm, fullness, greatness, and faithfulness, transcends human understanding. What tongue can describe the unabsorbed, incomparable love that he has for the children of man? It is so vast and limitless that, as the shallow which touches the water in flight, but is not submerged, our words can only touch the surface and not the depths. Well has said the poet, O love, depth incomprehensible, because the love of Christ is immeasurable and unfathomable. No one can reach its depth. Before we can have a clear idea of Jesus' love, we must understand his former glory, from the heights of heaven and his becoming flesh on earth to the depths of shame. Who can speak of this majesty of Christ? He is the only begotten of the Father, and through him were made the heavens and all their hosts. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Who can describe the height of his glory? Then he was the Logos, the spokesman of God. Who can tell how low he has come down? Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus forever and ever. How fitting it is to give praise and honor for what he has done for us, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honors the Son honors the Father which hath seen him. The Father desires to give his glory and honor to his Son, and later Jesus will share this with others earthly sons. Can it be that from our race he could seek a bride with whom he can share his glory? Yes, my dear ones. He will see the fruit of his sufferings and will rejoice. Why? Because he will see that through his death he has won a bride. And you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Therefore, God has made Jesus head of the church, as it is written, he is the head of the body, the church. Many times, we look at our humble state and think, who are we compared to those who died before us? The saints of God were so permeated with the love of Jesus that they preferred at any moment to die for his sake, even singing. Who is able to do likewise? Who is drunk with his love? This state is beautifully described in the Song of Songs. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, that ye tell him that I am faint with love. Song of Songs 5:8. Dear brethren, do we long to meet with our Lord? Would we be able to suffer joyfully for this thing? The Apostle Paul and Silas, after they were beaten and thrown into prison, instead of crying for pity because they were wrongfully punished, they began to sing and to rejoice because they were worthy to suffer for Jesus. They knew that by suffering for Christ, they would have part in his glory. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with him. Romans 8:17. The Song of Solomon allegorically describes the loving relationship between Jesus and his betrothed. Looking for her beloved, the betrothed is asked, what is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved, that thou dost so charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. Song of Songs 5:9-10. Is this how we perceive our beloved bridegroom, the chiefest among 10,000s? If so, then our love for him will grow more and more every day, because we are not in love with just any person, but with the Son of God. Behold how the poet further describes him in this song. His head is as the most fine gold, his locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. Song of Songs 5:11-16. All these beautiful qualities admirably describe the being of the Lord Jesus and especially his character. Peace, righteousness. The phrase, the heavens of his mouth are only sweetness, suggests to us that all that is why the virgins love you. Song of Songs 1:3. What does the poet refer to when he says, your name is like ointment poured forth? If I showed you a bottle and told you that there was perfume in it, you could say to me, Brother Josu, there may be water in your bottle. But if I open the bottle and I pour the liquid out, then all will recognize that I spoke the truth, that in my bottle truly was perfume. As long as Jesus was with the Father, he was perfume in a bottle. But when he came to our planet and agreed to be crushed and poured out on Calvary, he became a perfume poured out. He poured out the perfume of his love on our earth to redeem us from sin and death and to cleanse a people to be his. This is his fragrance. This is his love with which he has embraced us. Whenever we pray, whenever we worship, we say, in the name of Jesus. Because in his name we are reckoned as perfect, holy. In the Song of Solomon, we find many beautiful comparisons to our beloved. One of them is, my well-beloved is a bundle of myrrh. Song of Songs 1:13. Myrrh has chosen to symbolize Jesus because of the value of the perfume and its loveliness, but also because of its disinfectant, healing, and preservative qualities. But why is he compared to a bunch of myrrh? First of all, because of the abundance. He is not a drop, but an ocean. is not a stem of flower, but a complete bundle. In Christ, all our needs are fulfilled. Our beloved is compared to a bundle also because of the variety, because in Christ not only exist the necessary things, but in Him dwells bodily all the fullness of the deity. Colossians 2:9. Every necessity can be fulfilled in Him. Let us think of all the titles of Jesus, and we will see here a great variety. Prophet, priest, king, bridegroom, friend, shepherd. By studying His life, death, resurrection, ascension, and His return, looking unto Him in His virtues, His goodness, courage, sacrifice, love, faithfulness, truth, and mercy, He appears to us as a bundle of perfection. A bundle of myrrh, which must be kept, stored in a vessel of great value, and not thrown away. He is our most precious treasure. In order to better perceive the power of the perfume which the Lord Jesus spread all around Him, we will read an account which we find in Mark 8 from 1 to 3. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called His disciples unto Him and said unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them come from far. Would you be able to retain someone with you for 3 days? What would you be able to say to someone that they would stay with you for such a long time? The special perfume of our Lord Jesus delighted those Jews who could not leave Him, being enchanted by His words. The people who went to capture Jesus had the same experience. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have you not brought Him? The officers answered, Never man spake like this man. John 7:45-46. Do you see why the multitudes could stay with Him for 3 days? Never man spake like this man. For this reason, we are able to stay next to Jesus, to listen all the more, as it says in a verse from a hymn. If He spoke to me my whole life, it would not seem like much to listen to Him. Why? Because He has something in His speech, something that cheers us up, invigorates us, draws us to Him, and we can never leave Him. Therefore, for all eternity, the saints will not be bored in the presence of Jesus. Would you like to be with Him? Of course we all want this. For this, however, His loveliness must penetrate our being every day. Then we will no longer need laws such as do not take, do not taste, or do not do a certain thing, but for His sake, we will work in such a way that one day He will boast of us. For this, it is necessary that our race be crowned with success. Our zeal, our love for this special being must never diminish, no matter what it states we must go through. Illness, poverty, trials, suffering. It is true that habit or routine often appear in our life. We go to a meeting, talk about Jesus, sing about Him, but this is not good enough. We must always have an ardent love for this wonderful being. We must be faint with his love. We must always be in love with him. Returning to Psalm 45, we read, "Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most valiant warrior, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall shine through wonderful deeds." Psalm 45, 3 and 4. We see that Jesus is seen prophetically as a valiant warrior, one who defends truth, meekness, and righteousness. But how can these qualities match each other? How can you be gentle when you defend the truth? Even the Savior said that the truth is a sword. Regarding this, the Apostle Peter tells us very beautifully, "Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." 1 Peter 3:15. What kind of fear? Fear of man? No. Fear of God. Fear of making mistakes. We must have such a fear. If we think about the way in which the Lord Jesus confronted the scribes and the Pharisees, we could say that in that situation, he was not gentle because he admonished them by telling them that they were serpents, dogs, whitewashed graves. Why did Jesus address them in this way? Because he wanted to convince the Pharisees that they were misbehaving with a hypocritical attitude. He wanted to awaken them from their bad condition, and some of them, like Nicodemus, awoke, repented, and followed Jesus. His entire earthly life, Jesus defended the truth. He himself declared of himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." John 14:6. In his prayer in John 17, Jesus asked the Father, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is the truth." John 17:17. The word of God is the truth, and Jesus himself was and is the Father's word. He was and is the truth. He opened the way for us by going forward, and if we walk in his way, we come to life. Jesus is life because God has found a way to hide in him all the treasures of science and wisdom. By seeking to know the Father and the Son, we have the opportunity to choose the best path, the path to life. We can gain life. We can gain more than our father Adam once had, namely, glory together with Jesus. This is something extraordinarily great. This is something that the human mind cannot comprehend, dear brethren. The Old Testament prophets did not have this favor. The Bible reveals to us that the glory that the saints of the gospel age will have is one of the highest quality. Moses was a believer as a servant. John the Baptist was the greatest of those born of a woman, and yet in the kingdom of heaven, the least will be greater than John. We continue to read in Psalm 45, "Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter." Psalm 45, 5 and 6. These verses tell us about the judgment of God, which he has entrusted to his Son. Give the king thy judgment, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. Psalm 72, 1 and 2. This judgment is allegorically described by the sharp arrows under which the people will fall and which will pierce the hearts of the king's enemies. God reproaches and punishments are upon mankind will humble him and bring him to repentance, as we read in Psalm 72:9. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The incorrigible will be destroyed in second death, and whosoever will not hearken unto that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Acts 3:23. In the millennial kingdom, Jesus and his bride will educate mankind by teaching them righteousness, which is the foundation of God's throne. When thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Isaiah 26:9. Returning to Psalm 45, we read, Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness upon above thy fellows. Psalm 45, 7. The Lord Jesus loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Have we determined to be the same, to hate iniquity and to love righteousness? Iniquity is manifested in many ways: evil speaking, jealousy, deception, evil surmising. The Lord Jesus was anointed because he loved righteousness and hated iniquity. It is also necessary for us to understand this and to begin to practice these things in our lives. Dear brethren, we were not born holy. Some among us have gone down more on the ladder of degradation and others less. What is important is that our Lord Jesus came down for each one of us, wherever we were, no matter how low that might be. And when we believed in him, Jesus invited us into his family. How do we know this? Because he gave us of his Spirit. He also sealed us and put the earnest of the Spirit into our hearts. 2 Corinthians 1:22. How does this manifest itself? By the fact that slowly, slowly, we begin to resemble him in our thoughts, words, and deeds. His Spirit guides us in this. Without his Spirit, we are cold people like everyone else. But all who have his Spirit begin to love righteousness and hate iniquity. God begets them of the Spirit and makes them like Then said Gideon unto Zebach and Zalmunna, What manner of men were they whom ye slew at Tabor? And they answered, As thou art, so were they. Each one resembled the children of a king. And he said, They were my brethren, even the sons of my mother. As the Lord liveth, if he had saved them alive, I would not slay you. Judges 8:18-19. Dear brethren, we must be like Jesus. must be children of kings, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. Revelation 5:10. The Lord Jesus wants to make us kings and priests, that we might be joint heirs with Him for 1,000 years. He desires this. And you? I believe we all want this thing. Then let's be like Him. Let's be drunk with His love. When we go to bed, when we wake up, when we pray, when we travel, may Jesus always be in our thoughts. If this will be a living reality in our lives, we will begin to be like Him, and one day He will say to us, "Come, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of your Lord." May the Lord help us to be faint with His love. Amen.
Drodzy braterstwo.
Oh, dear brethren.
Czy można jeszcze lepiej opisać tego brata przedstawił?
Is it possible to even describe this topic better than the brother himself described it?
So, wszyscy apostołowie, wszyscy słudzi Pana, już prorocy.
This is exactly what all the apostles and prophets were showing us. How we should be keeping our eyes on our Lord, our High Priest, our guide. And our High Priest, just as he gave his example, he lowered himself to whomever he was interacting with. Therefore, if we've understood this calling to the High Priesthood, in the same way, we should be able to lower ourselves to the lowest one. Only then will we be able to help this person in the kingdom of God in bringing up the whole world of mankind. Brethren, it's painful for us sometimes. How is it that I can understand this, but my brother can't? Well, this is the grace of God which we have. But we wish that the whole mankind would have the same hope. We thank you, dear brother, that you showed us this beauty found in our Lord Jesus. You've done it the best. Now we have a few announcements from Brother Staszek.
Greetings, dear brethren. We have 6 announcements that we'd like to bring to your attention. Number one, on the table up by the hotel reception, there's a small table across the way that has notes that you can fill out and send to brethren to the other classes that the brethren are going to send out to. So if you can write your comments on these, they'll be up at that reception desk on the main hotel floor. Number two, the hotel day in your room ends at 12 noon. You need to have all of your, if you are no longer staying at the hotel, you need to have all of your belongings removed by 12 noon and return your keys to the front desk. Otherwise, the convention might be charged another day. So make sure if you're not staying through another night that you check out of your room by 12 noon. Appreciate that. Number three, you can buy a new brochure that it's in Polish that the brethren have brought to my attention. I think it will be back at the book table. So you are welcome to purchase this book, which describes the plan of salvation of the church and humanity. So they are available in the back of the hall. This evening, at the end of the day,
at 9:30 p.m., we are once again going to be meeting down below in the barbecue area. And there'll be singing and fellowship and coffee. It'll also be broadcast by
3:38, the vow song.
Ślubu, podziel mi go pierwszy.
Pomodlimy się teraz z bratem Olszewskim, proszę.
Kochany nasz Ojcze, który mieszkasz w niebie, a wielkie i święte jest imię Twoje, w tej chwili przychodzimy przed Twój tron łaski, aby dziękować Ci za Twojego Syna, naszego Zbawiciela, Jezusa Chrystusa, za Jego okupową krew, a w tej chwili szczególnie Ci dziękujemy, kochany Ojcze, za łaskę usprawiedliwienia, za łaskę powołania i za to, że
for the privilege of calling each other brothers and sisters, especially for those who decided to take the step of sacrifice and the narrow way of self-denial. We thank Thee for the assurances, for the privilege which is still available to us, that we can show the consecration, that the door and the way to the church is still open, that you're still calling those who love Thee and who are seeking Thee. We believe, Father, that You will bless us with Thy Spirit and will give them all is necessary on this way. So please accept our thanksgiving and appreciation as we all gathered here. Ask that You help us to be faithful in our vows of sacrifice. May those new four brethren in front of us be encouragement for us and a reminder to be faithful to make our calling and election sure. Beloved Father, we thank Thee especially for the privilege of being in this, in the midst of those who are following His footsteps, who are close to our heart, who we know and love. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, bless us all, and especially those new brethren, and give them assurances that this is the best, the most certain and beautiful way. Protect them, especially in the beginning of their way, as they would be exposed to the fiery darts of the adversary. Keep them in Thy protection. We pray for Thy Spirit, for them, and also for us witnessing this event, that we may remember what is important, may remember our heavenly calling and our Savior. And finally, please forgive us our sins and shortcomings, everything which saddened Thy countenance, and we pray that Thy will may be done, not ours. Amen.